As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. Show me your facts, show me the law, and show me your evidence. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Thursday, December the 16th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I'd like to say I have good news, but it's kind of troubling this morning in the precious metals market. But we got hard facts, that's for sure, workable solutions, when we can find them, where we can find them. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the telephone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. Email, so I send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96. Out of Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647, the postal zip. Once again, a big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro, 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, and AM 1710. Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Your local listening audiences, our calling number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. All of our contact information can be found at the becomevocallocal.com webpage. Of course, this morning, precious metals remain sluggish, testing technical resistance. Joblessness is no help. We'll go into that in a moment. Bank and commodity sector, battle for supremacy. Climate change noise subsides. Interstate commerce, we'll go into that again today. The Commerce Clause, Gustavus Myers, land, labor, and capital. We'll talk about all of that and so much, very much more. Let's go into our market report for this morning. A lot of activity happening in the market right now. As we look at the charts here on Kitco, we can see that gold is off $15.10 in early trading. There seems to be a waterfall-like event here that's dropped off from the 1375. We've broken some of the technical resistance there. Will it go down to the 1350s? It's possible. We'll see where it goes. Will it come back? It might. This is a troubling time of year. About an hour ago, as of Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time, I should say, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, out of New York, gold was off $3.20. You can see we've got quite a drop here. We got down $12 from an hour ago. It's dropped over $12 in the last hour. But then it was at 1376.20. Silver was up 16 cents at 28.95. Platinum was up $2 at 16.97. And palladium was off $3 at $743 an ounce. So I've been up since about 5 looking at this stuff. And it was pretty quiet early on in the morning, but we're definitely on a downtrend right now. There's some big hands in the market, and there's a selling profit-taking thing going on right now. There is also, if you go up and look at the Kitco.com charts, if you're interested at all in following the gold this morning, there's a straight line decline, a straight line drop from about the 1373, 74, something like that, straight down below 1365. And so that's indicative of the exchange-traded funds, the big hands in the marketplace, SPDR, GOL, GLD, all those guys, they're in there. We'll be right back.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, December the 16th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live as we do Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Getting back into our market report for this morning. You can see a major action happening in the gold market as we speak. A rather steep and precipitous decline. I wouldn't worry about it too much, but we are breaking through some of that technical resistance that we had in the 1370s, down into the 1360s. Will we hit 1350? Very well may be. So just look at this as a buying opportunity. Watch it very carefully. See if you can pick someplace near the bottom. Buy more. That's what I'm going to do. I'm paying real close attention. I'd like to see it get down a little lower there. I might slide back in there this afternoon. We'll see. Anywho, back into it. Gold at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Off $3.20 at $13.76.20. Silver up 16 cents at $28.95. Keep your eyes on silver today, too. Platinum up $2. Again, this is as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The gold bullion spot markets are changing rapidly all the time, every day. Platinum at up $2 at $16.97. And palladium off $3 at $743 an ounce. It would be so much easier to do an evening broadcast where you can look back over the day's trading and make all kinds of, you know, a really ebullient prognostications, you know, but in the morning, all you can say is, God Almighty, look out. The street lights are flashing and the cars are moving. A London gold fix this morning. You boys in London, the London Bullion Market Association fixed the price at 1384 and it promptly went down from there. The SPDR gold shares, they show off 0.6 metric tons, less than a ton. 0.6 metric tons this morning at 1286.19, valued on State Street at $57.4 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed off 19 at 11,458. The NASDAQ off 11 at 26.17, and the S&P 500 closed down 6 at 12.35. Crude oil this morning off 42 cents in early trading at $88.20 a barrel. Out of 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude, running over $2 a gallon, I guess. Wow. For crude, right out of the ground. Of course, they only give about $11, $8 to $11 for those barrels of crude. And we'll find out a little bit more about that earlier or later. This is just all profit that you're seeing here. The U.S. dollar index this morning off 10 basis points at 80.10 on the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website, theice.com. That impacts the foreign exchange rates, where we find the Canadian loonie exchanging against the U.S. dollar at 99 cents, up 5 basis points. The Mexican peso still at 8 cents. Fill up your pockets with pesos, folks. 8 cents a pop, right? The euro up 13 basis points at $1.33. We're keeping our eyes on the euro and the pound. The British pound this morning exchanging against the U.S. dollar at $1.56. So we still have a pretty strong euro in here and a pretty strong British pound. The Swiss franc remains strong against the U.S. dollar as well, though it's down 34 basis points. It still exchanges against the buck at $1.03 U.S. The bond market this morning, keep your eyes peeled on the bonds. They're going to impact the mortgages as well. But, you know, as we go into QE2 and 3 and 4 and 5, you would expect these bond, the interest rates on the bonds to go back up. They're inside of a treadmill where the Fed just buys stuff and then turns around and goes through Goldman Sachs. They pay a brokerage, they buy it back, and so on. Around and around it goes, but the Fed makes interest on this, and so we should see these U.S. Treasuries bonded indebtedness, the interest rates going up, and they are. The two-year this morning, the yield on the two-year is 0.66%. The yield on the two-year Treasuries is 3.51%, and the 30-year is at 4.60%. So strong moves upward in the interest rates on the U.S. Treasuries. Of course, that impacts the mortgage markets. This morning, a strong move upward in the 15-year fixed-rate mortgages, moving up from 3.92% a month ago to this morning at 4.55%. So, slugs, if you didn't get your mortgage business taken care of, it's going to cost you more and more going forward. Just watch. The 30-year, another big jump in the 30-year, moving up from 4.51% a month ago to 5.19% this morning. All right? Prime rates at 3.25%. Your gold-to-silver ratio stands at 47.53 ounces of silver. Will buy you 1 ounce of gold, and it might buy you more than that this morning. Let's look at the Econoday calendar and see what's happening out there. Of course, yesterday afternoon, things didn't come out too good. They had the petroleum status, the housing market index, and the industrial production, all of that in the afternoon, that sort of stuff we talked about. But this morning, we've got housing starts out, the jobless claims, the current account, and the Philadelphia Fed. Let's go into the housing starts and take a look at that. See if that one pops up first. It should. If it doesn't, we'll jump over until we get it. Yeah, housing starts. Here we go. Housing starts. All right. They had a start level. They had a consensus of 0.550 million. They were looking at a range from 0.525 million to 0.594, and they got 0.555. What does it mean to us? Let's look at it. Housing starts posted a nice comeback, they say, in November, but off a very weak level. So they're coming back from a low to a nice start, all right? Housing starts in November rebounded, listen to the numbers, rebounded 3.9%, following a sharp 11.1% drop in the prior month. And so you take the two-month average, and you're seeing that you're down about 7%. Yeah, they had a horrible 11% drop. They got a little creep back at 3.9, but overall, in a 60-day period, they're still down about 7%, so things aren't looking good there. That should have gone the other way for the market, not the way that it's going. Shouldn't be very much confidence on these housing numbers. The November annualized pace of 0.555 million units came in, or about half a million units, 500,000 houses, came in a little above the market median estimate, blah, 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 down, blah, 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 blah. The gain in November was led by a monthly 6.9% boost in single-family starts. Now, again, that's not a lot, but Nevertheless, we're seeing a little bit of a trend right in there. But again, look at the time of the year. Well, let's finish it out, Will, and then we'll talk about that. Look at the time of year, however. Following a 2.7% dip the month before, the multifamily component actually pulled down on the overall number, falling 9.1% after plunging 35.7% in October. All right, so it lost 35%, almost 36, let's just say it, in October, and dropped an additional 9% in November. All right, October, November. Here we are in December. So things are not looking really good. And now look at from the standpoint of being a contractor, you know, if you've got a small construction company, even if you've got a reasonably large construction company with quite a few units under construction, this is the time of the year where you want to, you know, get one project going and get it in underneath a dry roof and then kind of just take your time and tweedledee and tweedledum through the holidays and into the spring, getting that one project done. So you might start a multifamily unit, let's say a 9-unit apartment building or a 14-unit apartment or larger, even a fourplex if you're a really small outfit, and then just kind of take your time, cut your corners, you know, watch your margins real carefully, use up all of your leftover nails and lumber from other jobs during the year, and quietly and slowly with a small crew pared down, work your way through the winter months waiting for the weather to improve. So this is not shouldn't be too surprising, but at any rate, that's my take on these housing starts. Permits, however, fell back 4% in November, so they're not going out and securing new permits, and why would they? They don't generally build too much at this time of the year. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important.
Let it be heard. Come, explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
So once again, and just taking a look at this report off the Economy Today website here in regards to the housing starts, you know, seeing a lot of action happening in the marketplace in some regards to these numbers, and they do impact, and that's why I bring them out each day. But basically, again, they say that the housing is not getting worse, but there is not much improvement either. Looking ahead, not much can be read into the dip in the housing permits as the multifamily component is lumpy and volatile on a monthly basis. Lumpy. Lumpy. You don't have a rake, I guess. Can't get all those lumps out of the market. Until home sales pick up along with household formation. That's key there. Say it again. Until home sales pick up along with household formation, which depends on job growth. In other words, people aren't going to get married. You know, people aren't going to, you know, have a baby unless it's, you know, just kind of accidental. People aren't planning to, you know, build their households. Without jobs, they're just kind of idle. Starts are going to remain sluggish, and there's truth to that. But again, the good news is that at least housing appears to have stabilized. So housing appears to stabilize. Well, you know, you can have somebody come rushed into the emergency room on a gurney, and they can hook up everything to them, and they can be stabilized, but they're still technically dead. And so we need to be aware of that and certainly not look too much for relief there. We don't get any relief here either. Jobless claims, highlights. Jobless claims improved slightly, they say. Again, I'm looking at the EconoDay.com website. Jobless claims improved slightly to an as-expected level of 420,000 in the December 11th week. Isn't that great? Only 420,000 people, nearly 500,000 people, came in and filed their initial jobless claim in the December the 11th week. I don't know how many more weeks in a row we can continue to have these 400, 450, 475,000 people coming in and filing initial jobless claims. Now, some of them may be taking temporary work. Some of them may have found, you know, a job that they quit, and they're coming back into the market again and again and again. But if this is any indication whatsoever, the amount of sacking of jobs that are going on in this country, and if we can even believe these numbers, then we have had a long, long run of unemployment. This extends a run of improvement, they say. I don't see that. Evidenced by the four-week average, which has fallen for 6 weeks in a row. The average of 422,750 is down more than 20,000 from a month ago in what is a positive signal for payroll growth. Well, maybe. Maybe not. But if you can take that apart and instead of looking at 422,750 as a number and think about 422,750 men and women in this country standing in a line someplace with their paperwork in hand, about ready to get screened, unemployed, perhaps no options for a job. Maybe they've gone out and done all the things they ordinarily do, but there just doesn't seem to be any work out there, and they're going and signing up. All right, that's not a good sign. Now, here's another thing, and they say this. Note that this is a tricky time of year for adjustments in the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Warn that an unadjusted claim will, starting next week, begin to build to an annual peak in the second week of January. What's all that about? Well, at this time of the year, and I don't know about in all industries, but I do understand something about the construction industry, and especially union construction industry, having been involved in that a bit, is that at this time of the year, usually right around, maybe 3 to 5 days before Thanksgiving, the foreman drifts out onto the job, or the superintendent comes out onto the job with a pocket full of envelopes and paychecks and pink slips. All right? And, you know, Tom, really appreciate the work you're giving us all summer long, but, you know, the holidays are coming, and we're backing off. We're slowing down for a couple of weeks, and here's your paycheck, and you don't need to come in. You know, you've got 15 minutes to pick up your tools and get off the job site. And it happens. And people in the union are pretty well used to that. But, of course... There'll only be a rehire in about January the 9th, somewhere in that vicinity. Don't have a calendar in front of me. But it'll be the first week in January where if they're going to rehire, they'll rehire then. So for now, all of those people in the union, not all of them, but all of them, I just say all of them, because all the people in the union, unless they're very, very special and dear to the company, they've all been sacked. So they're out there in the unemployment line, and they're going to collect unemployment for their Halloween and Christmas and Thanksgiving celebrations, all right? They got the time off, and it's a good time to go skiing. You know, you make money in the union, and so you can afford to do that sometimes, sometimes not. But anyway, that's what we're looking at there. Current accounts, why investors care. U.S. trade, oh, we should look at this account deficit. Let's see if I missed that one. No, I didn't miss it. Let's just talk a little bit about it. Current account, it was on the markets there, too. U.S. trade with foreign current countries holds important clues to economic trends here and abroad, blah, 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 and it goes on. There's more to that. We'll just drop it and go on. I didn't have the other report. Let's go back to this one. All right. BP falls most in 4 months after U.S. files an oil spill lawsuit. All right. This is the continuing saga of Macondo Gently Weeps. Brian Swint and Justin Bloom writing for Bloomberg. BP PLC fell the most in almost 4 months in London trading after usurper's administration filed a suit saying the company and four others violated environmental laws in the largest U.S. oil stuck on stupid spill, they said. Oil spill. Well, then it goes on and talks about their shares and everybody's supposed to wring their handkerchief. This raises a bit more uncertainty, said Peter Hitchens. Well, let's pull back. BP has set aside $40 billion to pay for cleanup and litigation. $40 billion. Well, they had a $20 billion escrow account. They've set aside $40 billion to pay for cleanup and litigation from the spill. They haven't really set it aside. They just said, well, that's a nice number. From the spill and is paying into a $20 billion escrow account. Okay, so they, quote-unquote, set aside $40 billion, but they're just still paying into a $40 billion escrow account. And, of course, you've got oil this morning at $88.20, and you know where they're getting it. They're getting it from you and me. They're not paying it out of their pocket, not likely, anyway. Continuing, having set aside $40 billion to pay for cleanup and litigation, they're paying into a $20 billion escrow account. The shares have rallied, blah, blah, blah. This rule, or this raises a bit more uncertainty, said Peter Hitchens, an analyst at the Panmure Gordon and Company in London. People were getting comfortable that things had calmed down. So this new litigation, this new lawsuit here, naming four companies and getting a little bit serious, has got the investors concerned. Credit default swaps on British Petroleum rose 20 basis points to 103, according to data provider CMA. Remember, when we're working through this Bloomberg website and all of the various stories that we can find on it, what we're also looking at here is investment information, all right? And oftentimes you'll read a Bloomberg article for you, and it's almost like an advertisement, okay? It's almost like an advertisement. It's like an IPO offering or something. You'd want to go out and get the prospectus after you've read the article. So, now, a lot of this information is styled for the investor. But, you know, this is what we're following. We're following the new economic world order, where profit is good, loss is bad, and that's the only moral code they have. The lawsuit seeks damages under the Clean Water Act and a declaration that four of the defendants are liable under the Oil Pollution Act for all removable costs and damages caused by the oil spill, including damages to the environment, according to a Justice Department statement. The lawsuit doesn't ask for a specified amount of damages, and that's good. That's a good thing, because you don't know what the damages are going to be. What you want to do is establish culpability and liability and then move towards accountability, but you don't want to settle early in any of these sorts of things because you don't know what the long-term expenses will be. Clean Water Act. The Clean Water Act authorizes the U.S. to seek civil penalties of $1,100 for each barrel of oil spilled, or in certain circumstances, as much as $4,300 a barrel from the oil from the companies involved, government lawyers said in a filing. Okay, so what's all that about? Well, they, you know, have tried to obfuscate, and we've never got a straight answer as to how many gallons of oil were being leaked, spilled, gushed, geysered, or otherwise at any one time. Every day it was a different number, remember? I've got all those, you know, cut, copied, and pasted out to my browser. I've got a whole bin full of articles, links, that we can go back to verify that. But they would never say. And the reason they would never say how much was going into the Gulf was because they knew that they had this Clean Water Act $1,100 to $4,300 a barrel penalty laying over their heads. And so who would want to say, oh, no, well, we had 6 gallons leaked and that was all. Well, that wasn't the truth and it isn't the case. We'll be right back.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HeartDrop.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we'll have to see, you know, how this all turns out. But Attorney General Eric Holder said in a conference yesterday that, quote, we intend to prove that these violations caused or contributed to this massive oil spill and that the defendants are therefore responsible under the Oil Pollution Act for government removal costs, economic losses, and environmental damages. Well, if they do that, they'll have a club that they can hold over the head of BP. But as we've seen in the past, you know, British Petroleum, you know, they're so deeply embedded, Goldman Sachs and the rest of them, that, you know, it really is hard to say whether the mineral management service under those guys really is just stepping and fetching for the oil lobby. But, well, we'll just have to go along. Anyway, there, that article is back in the news again, talking about BP. Carlyle Group is in the news this morning as well. Carlyle gets a $500 million investment from Abu Dhabi. This is an article by Anne Sylvain Chassani, New News, Bloomberg. Carlyle Group received a $500 million investment from the Mubadala Development Company, part of the Abu Dhabi government. It's, when you're dealing with the emirs, it's not quite as obfuscated as it is when you're dealing with the United States, all right? They don't make any bones about it. It's they have companies that are parts of their government. As the world's second biggest private equity firm prepares for an initial public offering, Mubadala will receive convertible subordinated notes and additional equity in the firm, Carlyle said in an emailed statement today. Without giving further details, the private equity firm sold a 7.5% stake to Mubadala in 2007 after shelving plans for an IPO, that's an initial public offering, amid the credit crisis. So, anyway, they were having they had plans then, but things were looking bad, so they had to put it on the back burner. They did put it on the back burner, and now they've brought it out. It's now on the front burner. Leveraged buyout firms are still struggling to raise money to expand and fund acquisitions, even as the pace of their takeovers more than doubled to $238 billion this year. All right. Leveraged buyout firms. What we're talking about there, this is the decade of M&A, not TNA, M&A, mergers and acquisitions, all right? And this took over more than $238 billion this year, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. So the big hands and the deep pockets are gathering up. They're in-gathering all of the little ones that they can. They're consolidating all of the companies that they can. You know, you own trillions and trillions into existence. And then the vultures go out, the economic hitmen go out, and they just start accumulating vast quantities of control and power over multiple different opposing companies. This is monopolization at the highest level. The Washington-based firm, founded in 1987, and we're talking about Carlyle, by William Conway, David Rubenstein, Daniel D'Anelio, plans to file papers for an IPO later this year, late next year, according to people with knowledge of the matter. Quote, our partnership with Mubadala continues to strengthen as we collaborate our investment opportunities and share sector and regional economic insights. Rubenstein, imagine he's Irish, said in the statement, the firm will use the money partly to expand its range of investment products. Officials at Mubadala and Carlyle declined to give further details. Then they do give further details, talking about Mubadala's cooperation and Goldman Sachs being involved in that as well. So that article's up there on the web. Here's a little bit more along a similar area. U.S. foreclosures filings dropped to a two-year low amid lender delays. Now, there's a lot of trouble out there for the banking sector, and no doubt about it, all right? And so what they're basically doing is they're trying to do everything they can do to influence the watchdog groups and others to keep the banks safe from having to come clean on all of their fraud. This article by Dan Levy, December the 15th, yesterday, foreclosure filings in the U.S. plunged to a two-year low last month. And then they continue to say, as lenders and loan servicers reviewed practices under legal scrutiny around the country. In other words, they've been slapped. They've been slapped good, you know, as they say, they've been slapped. And they've been slapped real hard, all right? And so they're having to back off and be very careful because they know they're in great peril here. There are actual problems with their process that could be astronomical from a financial standpoint. In the consequences, a total of 262,339,000 U.S. properties received default or auction notices or were seized in November, all right, down 21%. Now, you add that with the number of jobless claims, you look at that in regards to the decline in the number of single-family and multifamily units, and you get an understanding of what's going on in the background here. 262,339 U.S. properties receiving their default or auction notices or were seized in November. RealtyTrack said in a report, those were the biggest monthly and annual declines since the Irvine, California-based company began reports in January of 2005. One in every 492 households got a filing. All right? Just walk up the street, count 500 houses, and somebody has just gone into receivership. Somebody has just gotten their notice. Someone's getting foreclosed or their home was seized. Continues here. It says all 50 states are investigating whether faulty documents and signatures were used. Of course, Mike Chambers did a lengthy disclosure of all of this stuff. We're just following the story. The coordinated probe began in October after the biggest U.S. banks suspended some home repossessions to review their procedures. It goes on and on. A U.S. District Court judge in Maine last week allowed the GMAC LLC to continue selling foreclosed homes in that state, ruling that the federal courts have limited authority on the issue. GMAC, owned by Detroit-based Ally Financial Company, or Financial Inc., and the U.S. government, has also been sued by the state of Ohio in a foreclosure complaint, blah, blah, blah. Multi-state probe may end in multiple settlements, Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller said, and so on. And it's a long, long article. I'm not going to go into the rest of it, just to let you know that it's still on the radar. It's still being discussed in mainstream news. All right, so they can't get away from it. Banks push Fed to curb borrowers' rights to rescind mortgages. And we're going to talk a little bit about this, hopefully, as we continue our study of the history of Great American Fortunes by Myers. And we're going to see how this club is, there's nothing new about this club. They've been swinging this club since the founding of this country and from before. All right? So the banks are pushing the Fed to curb the borrower's right to rescind the mortgages. It's always the little guy that takes it in the short or upside the face. All right? That's the way it goes, you know. And it's always the banks. You know, they strike you repeatedly in your face while they cry out in pain, the bankers. The banks, again, push Fed to curb borrowers' rights to rescind a mortgage, taking something away from you to save their bacon. Mortgage firms are pressing the Federal Reserve to curb homeowners' rights to invalidate loans based on flawed documents. A right consumer group says is one of the few weapons borrowers have to battle unfair lending. All right, so throughout all of this flack, as all of the legal beagles went out and started looking into things, they were basically doing discovery. They were looking for all the loopholes, and they started to use them. They went in, they went into the courts. Lots of people have been successful in the courts. And now the bankers, I'm sure they have their legal staff out there. They're looking at all the decisions. They're looking for how these arguments were styled. And now they're going to use their might and their power to influence the Fed to close those loopholes and shut those doors so that we, the people, lose another opportunity. Consumer groups and industry lawyers say a rule under consideration by the central bank would make it harder for borrowers to exercise their right of rescission, which forces a lender to relinquish a lien on a mortgage property. All right? They said the number of rescissions has grown in recent years as a result of the foreclosure crisis and allegations that mortgage documents were fabricated or processed improperly. And if you recall, they're even trying to go retroactive. They'd like to have that retroactive notarial signature seal affixed to documents to validate or make legal out of illegal or unlawful documentation. Ken Markinson, regulatory counsel at the Mortgage Bankers Association, said the change would save lenders money. Greater clarity will help unnecessary litigation and reduce costs. I say screw the banks and leave them bleeding. Wells Fargo and Company, Bank AmeriCorps, and J.P. Morgan and Chase. Now, the three largest U.S. mortgage lenders, and didn't we see just the other day as we were looking through this, that the Rothschilds are laying back there with principal as principal stockholders here, all right? So who's zooming who? The three largest U.S. mortgage lenders all declined to discuss rescissions or didn't respond to requests for comments. Susan Stawick, a Fed spokeswoman, said, blah, blah, blah. Lenders are pressing the Federal Reserve to act on the issue now because starting in July, rescission rules will come under the purview of the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So they're working double extra overtime to make sure that they can get their deals cut before this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau can come in on the side of the people, if they will at all, and go against the banks. The Fed rushing. Since the financial crisis began, the Fed has come under criticism for having failed to meet its existing legal mandate to protect consumers from deceptive mortgages and other financial products. And it continues. We'll pick it up right there on the other side. Stay tuned.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Back into this little article about the Federal Reserve, the Fed rushing again. Since the Fed financial crisis began, the Fed has come under criticism for having failed to meet its existing legal mandate to protect consumers. Can you believe that? Well, anyway, they write it. Here's a quote. I cannot understand why the Fed is rushing through this voluntary gift to the banks unless the Fed is afraid that if it doesn't curtail the rights of rescission now, it'll never happen. Said Kathleen Engel, a professor at Suffolk University Law School in Boston. The right of rescission was established by the 1968 Truth in Lending Act. Borrowers who can show a material misstatement in loan documents have 3 years to issue a rescission notice to the lender, who must revoke its lien on the property. Consumer and industry lawyers said rescissions have risen because of the fallout from the collapse of the housing bubble. Although precise numbers are hard to come by, Kathleen Day, another expert say, Kathleen Day, a spokeswoman for the Center for Responsible Lending, estimated there are thousands of rescissions cases pending in jurisdictions around the country. By contrast, the Federal Reserve estimated that there will be 2.25 million foreclosure filings this year. That's a gob and a bunch, okay? Now, I'm going to drop the news for a moment. Maybe we'll just drop it entirely. I might come back to it, though. There are a lot more articles on the browser that are pertinent to our discussion of interstate commerce and certainly the history of the United States, the history of the great fortunes in America. All right? And this delightful book, as I've shared with you all week and last, sent to me by one of our listeners, Bill, this was originally published back in 1907. This guy, Gustavus Myers, you know, and you go up on Wikipedia, you can see his little bio there. As a young man, was involved with the Populist Party, People's Party. Then he joined the Socialist Party. He's known as a muckraker. But he's also known as an indefatigable researcher and one seeking the truth. And unlike the glossators of his time and today, like some of these articles that we read off the Bloomberg and elsewhere, everybody was painting a happy face and talking about all of the laudatory, making all these laudatory claims about the, you know, the Vanderbilts and the Astors and others, and they were such humanitarians and their philanthropy was so wonderful. But they were basically murderous, treasonous, traitorous, treacherous, pocket-lining, filching, shyster whores. All right? So what Gustavus Myers did is he noticed that this disparagence between what was being reported and what his records research indicated as the truth. And so, like so many bloggers do, they go up on the blogosphere, you know, and they dig and route around through all of the documentation, and they write up, you know, their articles, sometimes incredulous, because they can't believe their eyes for what they've just seen and found. And so this book is handy for anybody that's in the research business because it's broken up in what you could almost consider to be blog posts with a separate heading, and their articles are relatively short, but they're all together, and they run consecutively from the beginning of the country up until his time where he died in the 1940s. So he lived through the time period. Here we go. This is under Courts and Constitutions. This is under the section, the chapter titled the Ramifications of the Astor, John Jacob Astor, the Astor Fortunes. And I'm having to skip through because there's no way I can read the whole book on air, and I'm not going to try it. But just pertinent places. This is titled Courts and Constitution. Just listen to the way he starts here now. This guy's a muckraker, all right? But he is very, very credible, and nobody's ever been able to put holes in his writings, according to the preface here from the publishers. That's why it was published. Everybody else refused this book, but these publishers finally said, hey, this has got to get out there, and they did. Published by the Modern Library. The trading class, of course, we went back, we talked a little bit about the mercantile time period as we were going through the history of world civilizations, but the mercantile, the trading class, see, these are the people that actually created parliamentary law. These are the people who actually brought us into this idea of representative government. The only way you could get rid of the kings and queens, the nobles and the lords in the feudal system, the only way that the artisan class and the mechanics could actually ever come up at all in the world was that they had to break up the stranglehold of the black nobility of Europe and others. And they did. It took a long time, but they did. But it's hard to say whether the demon that was created was worse than the demon before. It's hard to say whether the cure was better than the disease. So we look at this, and we understand that the trading class, the mercantilists, have as much blood on their hands, if not more, than even the nobility did. And so you can understand why there's some people that would be like Tories and some people that would be like Whigs. There would be some people that were conservative and some people that were liberal. The trading class, he writes, had already learned the importance, and we're talking in the time of the Astors, we're in the 1800s here, the trading class had already learned the importance of the principle that while it is essential to control lawmaking bodies, that sounds like what's happening in Washington today, you know, all the lobbyists in there, while it is essential to control lawmaking bodies, it was imperative to have as their auxiliary the bodies that interpreted the law. In other words, you've got to have in your pocket as well all of the legal beagles. You've got to have it. You've got to have the judges in your pocket, too. And in the 1800s, they realized that. The trading class was well aware of that. To a large extent, the United States since then has lived not under a legislative-made law, but under a purely separate and extraneous form of law which has superseded the legislature product, namely court law or stare decisis or, you know, judge-made law. You're not going to know what's in the bill until we pass it, and you won't know what's in the bill, Nancy Pelosi said, and you won't know what's in the bill until it passes through the filter of the appeals courts, thus saith me, right? Although nowhere in the United States Constitution is there even the suggestion that courts shall make law, yet this past century and more, they have been gradually building up a formidable code of interpretations which substantially ranks as the most commanding kind of law. And these interpretations have, if they're made by Elena Kagan or, you know, Sonia Sotomayor or any of the others, you know, They become decisions of the court, the opinions of the court, and they rule and they have the force and effect of law. So we're talking about legal positivism, which led us into this discussion of this particular book and others. But and these interpretations have, on the whole, consistently followed and kept pace with the changing interests of the dominant class, whether traders, slaveholders, or the present trusts. The present trusts. This decision of the august courts opened the way for the greatest orgy of corruption and the most stupendous of frauds. In New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and other states, a continuous rush to get bank charters ensued. Most of the legislatures were easily seduced by corrupt temptations held out by the traders. There was a deep-seated hostility in many parts of the country on the part of the middling tradesmen, the shopkeepers, and the petty merchants to any laws calculated to increase the power and the privileges of the superior traders and the landowners. Among the masses of workers, most of whom were, however, disenfranchised, any attempt to vest the rich with new privileges was received with the bitterest resentment. Does that sound at all familiar? My. But the legislatures were approachable. Some members who were put there by the rich families needed only the word as to how they should vote, while others, representing both urban and rural communities, were swayed by bribes. By one means or another, the traders and the landholders forced the various legislatures into doing what was wanted. Left, right, left, right. Special interest groups, lobbies, pluralism abounds. That's a great couple of paragraphs. Omitting the records of the other states, a few salient facts as to what took place in New York State will suffice to give a clear idea of some of the methods of the trading class in pressing forward their conquests, in hurling aside every impediment, whether public opinion or law, and in creating new laws which satisfied their extending plans for a ramification of profit-producing interests. If forethought and unswerving aim and singleness of execution mean anything, then there was something sternly impressive in the way in which the rising capitalist class went forward to snatch what it sought and what it believed to be indispensable to its plans. There was no hesitation, nor were there any scruples as to the niceties of method. The end in view was all that counted. It's the means, you know, the end justifies the means there. So long as that was attained, the means used were considered paltry side issues. Paltry side issues. Well, if we have to blow up the bloody World Trade Center to get our advancement, we'll do it, all right? It's just a paltry side issue. There's about 23,000, you know, people or 2,300 or whatever it was. Anyway, it's where we've been. It's where we are. And we'll be right back after this.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. Liberty PolicityStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our, Thursday, December the 16th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Fridays, we do, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network in the first hour. Right out some of the environmental and economic news that we talk about on a regular basis, but we're definitely looking at the bankers today. And so we started in, went back into the history of great American fortunes with Gustavus Myers, a wonderful, delightful book donated to our library by one of our listeners, Bill, and I thank him for it. This was published by the Modern Library out of New York, and it is a originally copyright 1907 by Myers. The copyright was renewed in 36 and 37 by Myers, and this is an edition that I have in front of me. It's 1937, appears. And so it's a treasured book in my library now. And so I'm going to share it with you. But again, we're looking at the ramifications of the Astor Fortune. Look at the name of the book, The History of the Great American Fortunes. Most of what this book does is it goes back and it looks at the wealthiest of the wealthy. And then it brings out all of the devils in the details. They say it brings out all the dirt, how these batards got to be such great, you know, wealth holders and so on. But as we said earlier, you know, he is, largely in his youth was a populist and a socialist. And so he has a bias built into his political faith against property. And even though the invectives are always levied against the property holder, there's a lot of difference between the property holders of his time and the property holders of today. All right. It wasn't until much later, the Warden June Cleaver time period, where we really actually had an opportunity to go out and, you know, buy the houses and the subdivisions, tract homes and all those sorts of things. But the banks are always holding the purse, all right? And so even though we think, and we went through the foreclosure fraud discussion earlier on the news, even though we think we have ownership, title rights, and interest in our property, do we? No, I don't think we do. And we've had the authors on, they own it all, including you, by Robert Rowan and Ronald P. McDonald. And we've gone through this toxic sludge, the Federal Reserve note, and everybody in the chat and on this broadcast understands that. So we know that there's a big question on the discussion. There's a red flag on the field. We have never been able to pay for anything. All we're doing is discharging debts, and the Fed, the bank, retains ownership. And so, big, bad story. And indeed, continuing from the book here, and indeed, herein lies the great distinction of action between the world-old property classes and the contending proletariat. Now, see, he's using the terminology. This is Karl Mordecai Marx terminology, the contending proletariat. For whereas the former have always campaigned irrespective of law, and particularly by bribery, intimidation, repression, and force, the working class has had to confine its movement strictly to the narrow range of laws which were expressly prepared against it, and the straightest or slightest violation of which has called forth the summary vengeance of a society ruled actually, if not theoretically, by the varied property classes which set at defiance all law. So we have the rulership, or the rule of law, as Hal Anthony likes to say it on his broadcast, Behind the Woodshed. You can hear it on Sundays here, 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock Central Time. But the rule of law, vastly different from law, and we're inside this legal paradigm, and we call it here legal positivism, and I think rightly so. All right? But it's the property classes that are really running the show at this particular juncture, and perhaps still today. The banking frauds begin, he continues. The chartered monopoly held by the traders, and that's traders, T-R-A-D-E-R-S, again, this is the merchant class, the traders, and these are the people that are involved international trade. Well, I guess I'll just use it that way. Engaged in international trade, all right? Like the Astors, they were involved in the fur business, but they were running ships, their sailing vessels, back and forth between, you know, New York and Boston and the Orient and the Pacific Northwest. It was APEC all over again. We'll be right back.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HeartDrop.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so as more people, you know, chant out, end the Fed, end the Fed, end the Fed, be careful, you know, state banks, look at North Dakota state banks, you know, wampum, trade beads, and so on and so forth, barter economy, be careful. You know, we want to make sure that we don't have time at this time, you know, this juncture in our lives to make mistakes that our ancestors have made previously. We learn from the mistakes made in the past. We need to visualize a future, you know, greater and greater freedom, less and less tyrannical and despotic control, finding ourselves always in the future falling forward, or excuse me, always in the present falling forward into the future. Just kind of a sidebar there. But we want to make sure that we don't commit the same kind of errors here. Now, the banking fraud begins. Again, this is Gustavus Myers. This is a guy that was, you know, digging around. He was in New York, lived in New York all his life, basically. But he was not, you know, at all opposed to going into the official documents and sitting there probably for hours until his eyes burned, reading the documents and making citations and quotes. And he wasn't running to a Xerox machine. Obviously, he'd have to copy this stuff out longhand. And did, and then brings it to us in his books. The chartered monopoly held by the traders who controlled the United States Bank was not accepted passively by others of the commercial class who themselves wanted financial engines of the same character. Right, we see a chartered monopoly bank, the Fed Bank, U.S. Bank created, United States Bank, and the traders wanted to have banks of their own. They could see the money machine that was being created. The states began a course of reeling out bank charters. You say, oh my God, well, getting rid of the Fed is a corrupted system. Let's go back to state banks. And the states began a course of reeling out bank charters. By 1799, New York City had one bank, the Bank of New York. That would be the Bank of New York Mellon today. That would be Alexander Hamilton, would it not? This admixed the terrorism of trade. Interesting, he uses the word here, the terrorism of trade and politics. This admixed, put them together, this admixed the terrorism of trade and politics. And we see, define the word terrorism. What is the word, you know, if we define it? It is a form of government that rules by fear, intimidation, and dread. Who are the real terrorists? Well, here, this admixed the terrorism of trade and politics so overtly that presently an opposition application for a charter was made. This solitary bank was run by some of the old landowning families who fully understood the dangers involved in the triumph of the democratic ideas represented by Thomas Jefferson. A danger far overestimated, however, since when, as democratic principles did, the propertied class continued its victorious march for the simple reason that property was able to divert manhood suffrage to its own account and to aggrandize itself still further on the ruins of every subsequent similar reform expedient. You know, so yeah, you can go in the laudatory stuff and we can talk about our founders and the framers and the charters and the constitutions and the conventions and the tea parties and everything else. But it only tells the one side of the story. Myers is trying to share with us his research of the other side of the story, and this information was suppressed. What the agitated masses, for the most part, of that period could not comprehend was that they who hold the possession of the economic resources will indubitably sway the politics of a country until such time as the proletariat, no longer divided, but thoroughly conscious, you see, he's aware of this spirit of division too, no longer divided, but thoroughly conscious, we keep trying to wake people up, right? Organized and aggressive, will avail itself of its majority vote to transfer the powers of government to itself. We're trying to restore a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, we're trying to encourage people to become, you know, vocal local and get right busy in their own local voting precinct level, to get inside of the established two-party political system, not with the intent of making it a better system, but with the intent of bringing it low, getting rid of the spirit of division, getting rid of this left-right paradigm, getting rid of this established two-party political system that stands between where we are and where we need to be in a New York minute. Just a different point of view, but he and I are in agreement here. The Bank of New York injected itself virulently into politics and fought the spread of democratic ideas. You see now, Bank of New York, you know, New York Fed. You got Timmy Geithner in there, you know, talking with Mr. Finance, Benjamin Shalom Bernanke. You guys have injected themselves into the idea of politics, all right? They're using it against us. If a merchant dared support what it denounced as heretical doctrines, the bank at once blacklisted him by rejecting his notes and when he needed cash the most. Of course, Lehman Brothers comes to mind immediately. You know, this Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, you know, going up against someone like J.P. Morgan Chase. Of course, you can't say that the CFTC or any of them, the SEC, any of them are really on our side. Who created them? They're like a false puppet. They're like finger puppets, I guess. They're appeasers. If a merchant again dared to support what it renounced as heretical doctrines, the bank at once blacklisted him by rejecting his notes when he needed the cash the most. And we're talking about how many people across America now, small businessmen all across America, trying to get money out of the banks, buyers trying to buy a home, trying to get money out of the banks. They can't get approved. They can't get any money for their loans. They can't get any development unless they go through a federal grant and aid program. They can't get money to finance their ideas. Why? Because they've been blacklisted. They're not on board with the communitarian principles. They're not on board with common purpose. All right? They haven't been thoroughly indoctrinated. They don't accept the communist or the socialist line. And they're trying to be independent, you know, individual, small businessmen, and they're being stomped every time they turn around and denied financing, which is essential for their advancement. It was now, oh boy, I like this part, it was now that Aaron Burr, that adroit leader of the opposition party, stepped in. Seconded or instigated by certain traitors, he set out to get one of those useful and invaluable bank charters for his backers. Now, so we hear all of this discussion, you know, oh, Aaron Burr came out and he challenged, you know, Hamilton to a duel, and they popped each other and so on. And that's what you read in history. And I read this over the weekend. I went back through my history books, the textbooks that I have, and I've shared with you directly out of the pages of these, you know, high school and college textbooks. I've gone to my sets of encyclopedias. I'm not finding anything in my encyclopedias or those textbooks that tell me that Aaron Burr went out to set up a bank of his own. He set out to get one of those useful and invaluable bank charters for his backers. The explanation of how he accomplished the act is thus given. Taking advantage of the epidemic of yellow fever, then desolating New York City, he, with much preliminary of philanthropic motives, in other words, he comes in posturing as a philanthropist, you know, coming in with all these high ideals, introduced a bill, and this is legislation now, for the apparent beneficent purpose of diminishing the future possibility of the disease by incorporating a company, get your pencils ready, called the Manhattan Company. And its intent was to supply pure, wholesome water. Now, as we go on, we'll find that they never did supply any pure, wholesome water. This was a ruse, and a careful one at that. Supposing that the charter granted nothing more than this, the explanation goes, the legislature passed the bill and was most painfully surprised and shocked when the fact came out that the measure had been so deftly drawn that it, in fact, granted an unlimited charter, conferring banking powers on the Manhattan Company. The craft and the guile of the change agents, always at foot, aided and abetted as they are by their shortster lawyers. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can, with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
Back once again and taking a look at this, at the ramifications of the Astor fortune at the time period, you know, 1799, 1800, coming on us and at us. This is the time of the Great American Fur Company and so much more. But this is also the time when we really started to have an explosion of banking. Again, this explanation is probably shallow and deficient. It's more likely that bribery was resorted to, considering the fact that the granting of every successive bank charter was invariably accompanied by bribery. 6 years later, we talked about Credit Mobilier the other day. This was another great bribery scheme. This was for the expansion of transportation and communications all across the several states as they were developing. 6 years later, the Mercantile Bank received a charter for a 13-year period. A charter which it was openly charged by certain members of the assembly was certainly secured by bribery. These charges were substantially proved by the testimony before a legislative investigating committee. And I'm telling you, the bottom of this page is chock-a-luck full of citations here. And he's quoting important stuff. You know, the Journal of the New York State Assembly, 1803, pages 351 and 399, 1812, pages on 34. Pages 1812, 259 through 260, and so on and so forth. All right, naming names, citing sites, and giving summaries right out of the findings of the legislature in 1811. excuse me. I'm dropping down a little bit. I'll just do it again. In 1811, the Mechanics Bank was chartered with a time limit under circumstances indicating bribery. So we've had the Mercantile Bank, the Mechanics Bank, the Manhattan Company, and the United States Bank. Indeed, so often was bribing done, and so pronounced were charges of corruption at frequent sessions of the legislature, that in 1812 the Assembly, in a heroic spasm of impressive virtue, passed a resolution compelling each member to pledge himself that he had neither taken nor would take, quote-unquote, any reward or profit, direct or indirect, for any vote on any public measure. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. You believe that? I don't. All right. Well, they might do something like that today. But like you said, a heroic spasm of impressive virtue. This resolution was palpably intended to blind the public. For in that identical year, the Bank of America, you know, we got the Bank of America, the United States Bank, the Mercantile Bank, we've got the Mechanics Bank, Bank of New York. Well, anyway, you can get the idea. It's coming on us and at us. The Bank of America received a charter amid charges of flagrant corruption. So if you want to know what year the Bank of America was chartered and under what circumstances, you just got it. One assemblyman declared under oath that he had been offered a sum of $500. Now remember the time period, all right? Think about that expressed in gold, ounces of gold, besides a handsome present for this vote. All of the banks except the Manhattan had limited charters. Measures for the renewal of these were practically all put through by bribery. So in other words, they got a 10-year charter, a 15-year charter, or a 20-year charter. If by keeping the charters short like that, it just guarantees that they'll have to be back with their hats in their hand and their hats full of money for the legislature as they bribe their way back to a renewal of their charter. Thus, in 1818, the charter of the Merchants Bank was renewed until 1832 and renewed after that. The chartering of the Chemical Bank, all right, the Chemical Bank, that staid and most eminently respected and solid New York institution of today, and the Chemical Bank still in existence today, was accomplished by bribery. Isn't that nice? The Chemical Bank was an outgrowth of the Chemical Manufacturing Company, the plant and business of which were bought expressly as an excuse to get a banking auxiliary. All right? They create these companies with the excuse, the intention, the mental reservation that they're really starting banks. The Golay Brothers, G-O-E-L-E-T. Now, they're not listed anywhere, okay? The Golay Brothers, G-O-E-L-E-T. Not in any of my encyclopedias. You went up to Wikipedia, didn't get anything with the Golay Brothers. All right. But the Golay Brothers were among the founders of this bank, the Chemical Bank. So here's a name. Here are some names that you won't find anyplace else. In fact, many of the great landed fortunes were inseparably associated with the frauds of the banking system. Money from land was used to bribe legislatures, and money made from the banks was employed in buying more land. The promoters of the Chemical Bank set aside a considerable sum of money and $50,000 in stock for the bribery fund. $50,000 in stock and a considerable sum of money in their bribery fund. No sooner had it received its charter than it began to turn out reams of paper money based upon no value, which paper was paid as wages to its employees as well as circulated generally. So year after year, the bribery went on industriously without cessation, and it was not limited to this Chemical Bank. They were all printing up their own money and putting it into circulation. All, you remember we talked about them living like feudal barons, you know, on these huge property sections. And they had their own private store, their company store, their own farms and everything. Everybody had to use their money. And this is one of the troubles, you know, interstate and intrastate commerce. Interstate commerce, this is one of the troubles here, is that you take your Chemical Bank notes and cross a state line or leave out of the area of New York, and those notes would be of little or no value. Were the bribers ever punished? Their illicitly gotten charters declared forfeited and themselves placed under the ban of a virtuous society? Bar, very far from it. It's the same as today. Why do these batards walk free on the streets of America? Why are they never charged? Why are they never brought to well, how come Goldman Sachs is still continuing and Blankfein and Cohn and the rest of them, they're still walking free on the streets of America, never charged with anything. They're hiding behind the corporate veil, right? The men who did the bribing were the very pinnacle of social power, elegance and position, or quickly leaped to that height by the reason of their wealth. They were among the foremost landholders and traders of their day. By these and wide radius of similar means, they amassed wealth or greatly increased wealth already accumulated. You know, you hear the stories about somebody coming in as a senator, you know, a man or a woman of means, but by the time they leave, they're just vastly wealthier than they came in. How does that happen? On a relatively and comparatively low-paying job. They make plenty of do-re-mi, and they've got great pension programs, and they've got great health care, but a lot of them, like, you know, Bloomberg, for instance, you know, he spent $200 million on his election campaign to become the mayor. As soon as he got in, then he started working diligently and got legislation passed there so that in the state of New York so that he could continue on as mayor, you know, change the election laws. Isn't that amazing? Why would somebody as wealthy as he is be concerned about being the mayor? Well, the ancestors, again, of some of the most conspicuous multimillionaire families of the present were deeply involved in the perpetration of all of those continuous frauds and crime. Here's some names. Peter Golay and his sons, Peter and P. Robert, for instance, and Jacob Lorillard. Interesting fellow. Look that one up. Jacob Lorillard, L-O-R-I-L-L-A-R-D, Lorillard, who for many years was president of the Mechanics Bank. No stigma attached to these wealth graspers. Their success as possessors of riches at once by the automatic processes of a society which enthroned wealth elevated them to be commanding personages in trade, politics, orthodoxy, and the highest social spheres. You know, every day we read the articles off the Bloomberg website, and they're always advancing these new names and these new names, and we start seeing these people come out, guys like Eric Cantor, just rising and rising and rising, and the APEC and the others, you know, they put him on a pedestal, and the next thing you know, he's fabulously wealthy. you know, the Adelsons just funneling money through them. Some of these people that run for office and their treasure chest is just huge. Look at Sarah Palin, for instance. Their successes as possessors of riches at once by the automatic process of a society which enthroned wealth, elevated them to be commanding personages in trade, politics, orthodoxy, and the highest of social spheres. The cropped convict, released from prison, was followed everywhere by the jeers and the branding of a society which gloated over his downfall and which forever reminded him of his infamy, but the men who waited on wealth never suffered that defeat.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So back once again to this this book, I guess we should say. It's not an article. The Ramifications of the Astor Fortune, this chapter out of the History of the Great American Fortunes by Myers, a section titled Bribery in a Crime in Name Only. Crime in Name Only. Where he just gave us a little bit of an idea about this cropped convict released from prison, followed everywhere by the jeers and the branding of a society which gloated over his downfall and which forever reminded him of his infamy. And this is the process of ostracization. But notice the difference. But the men who waded on to wealth through the muck of base practices and by means of crimes a millionfold more insidious and dangerous than they became the extolled and unquestioned dictators of that supreme trading society which made modes, customs, and laws. You know, you hear about somebody, perhaps, arrears in this or arrears in that, or they get crosswise with the law even in a traffic stop. They get caught with a quarter ounce of pot or something, you know, and they do major time, major crime. But these batards, still yet today, you know, as we extol the virtues of wealth and glamour, commit the most heinous of crimes, and there's never even a grand jury. There's impaneled. There's never an indictment coming forth. There's questions, and then they come out in public and they apologize. Oh, I'm so sorry. Lessons learned. Please forgive me. And they never go to prison. They never get hung for their crimes. It was a society essentially built upon money. Again, this new legal order, this new economic order. Profit good, loss bad, hell with morals, right? It was a society essentially built upon money. Consequently, he who was dexterous enough to get possession of the spoils experienced no difficulty in establishing his place among the elect and the anointed. They sent Bernie Madoff to prison. But just this morning, there's an article up on Bloomberg. I was going to share it with you. We don't need to. Where Goldman Sachs, basically, was sued by a man who put on, he had a business, and he sold his business, had $16 million, and he invested through them, and they recommended that he put so much in Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme, and so much with them, and blah, 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 and all that, and the guy wound up getting his hat handed to him, right? And so he sued. He's not going anywhere. Goldman's not in trouble here. It was a society essentially built upon money. Consequently, again, he who is dexterous enough to get possession of the spoils. BP's not going to get slapped too hard. They're dexterous enough to get possession of the spoils. Experience no difficulty in establishing their place among the elect, as if to deceive even the very elect, and the anointed. His frauds were forgotten or ignored. Only the fact that he was a rich man was remembered. And yet, what is more natural than to seek and accept the obeisance lavished upon property in a scheme of society where property is crowned as the ruling power. And as these sections continue to unfold in this book, we're going to see how greater and greater portions of New York and other cities, as they turn from the exploration of the West and preying upon the Native Americans, you know, the Indians, as they call them, in the fur trade and otherwise. They were not only just going after them, you know, and swindling them, drunk, making them drunk, swindling, killing them with alcohol, swindling them out of the process or the proceeds of their hunting and trapping, but they were getting their land too. You know, the reservations, all that Indian land, right, taking that too, you know, very, very interesting, clever, crafty, beguiling folk. So back to the America, the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences again. This is a set of encyclopedias also donated to the library years ago by a good friend Pete. And this was published originally in 1932 by the Macmillan Company. I have a 1937 reissue in front of me, open on my table. Right? Very old stuff here, probably printed on hemp paper. Continuing, though, from where we left off, and just to kind of recover a little bit of ground, its chief applications are evoked by railroad regulation and concern rates, issuance of securities, liabilities to shippers and passengers, and industrial relations. We're talking about interstate commerce and the creation of the Interstate Commerce Commission, which we'll cover in a separate article. The questions of national authority, which these raise, tend to become questions of the statutory powers of the Interstate Commerce Commission. And, of course, on the news today, tying in with this particular discussion, and really the impetus for it, is a continuing discussion about Obamacare now being challenged in Florida, all right? And they're coming after for the same kinds of reasons. Is it within the constitutional purview of our FedGov to, by diktat, tell you what you can or must or should buy? Or what services or products you should buy. And there's quite a controversy brewing, so it's to our advantage to know a little bit about the history of Interstate Commerce and the beginning of the Interstate Commerce Commission. Flexible as the bounds of federal and state authority, the newer form of interstate enterprise transcends the simplicity of the traditional categories of governmental control. Now, it's just timely that we can have a companion here with this history of the great American fortunes with this particular discussion, because some of the material that Myers covers is not found in this otherwise excellent encyclopedia article, this article having been written by Felix Frankfurter. So he doesn't cover all of the controversies between the states and the colonies before them about specie and payments and various kinds and different kinds of banking instruments and whatnot, and all of the mark, as they say, and reprisal between the colonies in regards to interstate commerce, where they just boycott products from this area or that area, and they would prefer this one over here and this one over there, and they'd lay hellish tariffs on one colony against the other. I mean, it wasn't like a friendly bunch. All right, again, it goes right back to the property classes, these huge, huge corporations. Pennsylvania, for God's sake, you know, no small action going there. Flexible are the bounds of federal and state authority. The newer forms of interstate enterprise transcend the simplicity of the traditional categories of governmental control. We want to be very careful when we get involved in the state banks again. There still needs to be a central clearinghouse somewhere if we're going to have commerce between the several states. Continuing, the intricate corporate arrangements in the public utility field raise particularly acute problems. So then again, we go back and look at the Credit Mobiliere and the beginning of that. We're talking now about wind turbines all across the country, Google getting involved in this. We have offshore wind projects. We're going to have interstate and intrastate interminglings here of corporate ownerships and other things, the public utilities. The divorce of ownership from operation puts questions not dreamed of in the constitutional philosophy of John Marshall, whether, for example, rates charged to the consumer by an operating company can be regulated effectively without control over the managerial and financial activities of the holding company, and if not, what mechanism of control should be adopted. So you've got government coming in, nationalizing various and sundry things, like Amtrak, you know. I heard on a broadcast the other day, Ronald Reagan said that it would be cheaper to just go ahead and buy American Travelers airline tickets than it would be to continue to subsidize the train system, Amtrak and otherwise. We spend more money on that than airline fare for all the people that ride it. Continuing, direct gripped by law, state or federal, over holding companies appears inevitable. Again, holding companies. We look at all of the top 10, you know, go up on the Federal Reserve Bank and look at the top 50 holders of the Federal Reserve and then track them backwards to their parents, and you'll find that you can hold a relatively minor position of stock in a company, and because you own stock in all of their competitors as well, you don't necessarily have to be a majority stockholder in order to strongly influence the operation of the board of directors and the government of that corporation. You can do it from behind the scenes from a holding company. We studied that when we got into Delavue and Howard's Principles of Business Law. You can find it in the archives. Again, dropping down a little bit further here, is an alternative which has received impetus through recent Supreme Court approval, and this is a Smith versus Illinois Bell Telephone Company, a 282 U.S. 133. 282 U.S. 133. 282 U.S. 133. And get some of these cases and go back and look at them. You go up on Find Law and just type that into the browser there, the search field. 282 U.S. 133 on Find Law. And that case should come out. It's an opinion. It's a U.S. Supreme Court opinion. You might take a look at that and get an idea, get a feeling for the this new form of law that Myers was talking about. This new, it's no longer legislative law, now it's all just judge-made law. It's the opinions of the appellate courts. But technological changes, even more basic than financial, have begotten new situations for which old instruments of government will no longer suffice. The more complex we become scientifically, the more interdependent and interoperable we have become. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the members' stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
So whether you're looking at economics or whether you're looking at law, it's all intertwined together. Many bankers are lawyers, many economists are lawyers, and so on and so forth. The circle goes around and around unbroken. The same goes in the legislature, and in the executive branch, there's no relief there either. You know, we're just overrun with the law. It's a new legal order. It's a new economic order that we're dealing with, okay? The precedents, now they say, the precedents, this is what you get out of the opinion of appeal courts, the precedents. The precedents in the law books are very tenuous aids for the solution of problems which the radio, motor carriers, and electric power present to legal statesmanship. So at the time of this writing, back in the 1930s, with Felix Frankfurter, of course, he was, you know, intimately associated with Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his administration, but Supreme Court, former U.S. Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter, all right, he's looking at radio, motor carriers, and electric power as challenges, a tenuous age for solutions to legal statesmanship. You can imagine where we've come from there. And to look for a single solvent, he says, is to seek the philosopher's stone. In other words, there's not going to be any quick fix. We're going to need to correctly diagnose the disease, isolate the disease. Sometimes you can determine a disease by examining the symptoms and examining the victims, but essentially we're going to have to correctly diagnose the disease and isolate it, and then proceed to the eradication of the disease. Failing that, we'll just have an endless amount of new symptoms and other victims. In the electric power industry, for example, again, we're talking about interstate commerce. In the electric power industry, for example, how many times you've been up on the interstate and you're flying along and you see these great transmission towers and all of the lines and they're just running all the way across Kansas, Dorothy, and then right on into the next state and the lines are uninterrupted. They don't know that there's a state boundary there, but it's interstate commerce when they run across. Maybe they're getting all of their power out of a hydroelectric dam in Washington or Idaho, Colorado or someplace. In the electric power industry, for example, if the processes of law and legal administration are to be effective, they must heed the economic interaction of the factors of generation, transmission, and distribution. The economic interplay between legal and interstate transmission, the relative volumes of interstate and intrastate transmission, and the regional or national character of the interstate transmission itself. And this extends all the way down to the smart meter in your on your house or in your yard. And so you have federal involvement, interstate commerce in your yard. You can imagine how difficult these arguments against the Obamacare could become for the legal world. These and conundrums like them are now being explored by the Federal Trade Commission and will for many years continue to tax all the resources of wisdom of the Federal Power Commission. That could be kind of oxymoronic. Federal Power Commission 11th Annual Report 1931 is his citation for that comment. There is a growing realization that these issues cannot be settled in terms of explicit duality of state and nation. Can't be settled just by simply saying, oh, this is a state issue, states' rights. Remember, again, right out of Myers this morning. It's more than that. It's a bigger picture than that. We need to be wiser than that, falling into simple traps. The simple dichotomy may be ill-adapted to deal with regional forces ministering to regional prejudices, he writes. A variety of legal devices has been proposed. Notice he's not always using the word legal now. Felix Frankfurter, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, retired, I guess. He's not talking about lawful. Not talking about the common law here. Talking about legal. You might as well just say legal positivism. Whatever the print says has the force and effect of law. A variety of legal devices has been proposed to take account of these significances. On the administrative side, now we're talking about the Administrative Procedures Act. On the administrative side, it has been suggested that state boards act jointly as regional commissions. You see the trouble we've gotten into that. Regionalism, as it's expressed, you know, all the way across the country and around the world, where all of the governors get together, you know, and they have a confab, and all the mayors of the entire country get together and they have a confab, and all your county clerks, they get together in a national association, they have a confab, you know, all that. On the administrative side, it's been suggested that state boards act jointly as regional commissions, or that a federal commission be supplemented by regional boards locally or federally appointed. The importance of becoming vocal local, understanding this stuff in advance, realizing that a local board is going to be appointed. You know how easy it is for you to get appointed to that board? Oftentimes, the board positions are just waiting. They'll talk about it in the newspaper for weeks and weeks and just hope someone shows up at the meeting. That's your voluntary compliance. But at least if you have a seat at the table, you might be effective in deflecting the advance of globalism. Legal inventiveness, I should say here, on the legislative side, the Constitution offers the device of interstate compacts entered into with the consent of Congress. Interstate compacts. I don't know about how many of you might live in a metropolitan statistical area, an MSA, a metropolitan statistical area here in southwest Missouri, very rural, kind of an Ozarkian place, kind of common folk people, right immediately to our south in the most northwestern portion of Arkansas is Benton County, home to Walmart. And you would be amazed, perhaps not, but you would be amazed at how much influence they have on our lives. We've been drug into this metropolitan statistic area because reasonably it could be supposed or asserted that people who work in anything associated with Walmart or upline or downline Jewett could ostensibly live someplace here in southwest Missouri, enjoy lower taxes, more open education, schools, a nicer lifestyle, not as hectic and hubbub filled, and they could drive their Mercedes-Benz for 35 or 40 minutes in the morning and arrive down in Rogers or Bentonville and work in Walmart all day and then come back up here and pretend they're ranchers. Right? So legal inventiveness is not restricted to a few fixed legal categories when called upon to subdue the protean forms of interstate commerce, the emerging forms of interstate commerce, to the diverse interests of society which they supposedly serve. So as we go back and we study philosophical radicalism, we understand the concept of from the greatest good of the greatest number. We go back and look at the writings of Francis Hutcheson, and we can begin to understand where the words "the pursuit of happiness" came from in our Declaration of Independence. All of these things work together to advance what was started so long ago by the legal positivists John Austin and Jeremy Bentham. And so we find ourselves today in this metastasized concept of legal positivism, where there's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. In the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable, and made even more complex because of interstate commerce and intrastate commerce, and this has been on us and at us since the founding of this country. Okay, so as we go further into this information, hopefully, we'll learn enough here to be able to accurately look at these discussions and these court cases coming out in regards to Obamacare and find out whether or not the courts are actually following precedent, whether they're actually expressing, you know, the long-held views of these property classes. And we got a real challenge here when we start talking about healthcare, because the healthcare industry is enormous, it's colossal, and highly subsidized by your tax dollars in hospital districts and ambulance districts and fire districts and police districts. You know, you take away most of those fire departments and the police departments and the ambulance districts, and your crime rate would probably continue to go down and down and down. Shut down these huge, you know, factory hospitals, you know. Get the jackboot off of our food supply. Allow us to eat healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know, slow our lives down a little bit. Get off the hubbub and the hectic turmoil. You know, get off the tram wheel. And we wouldn't need 90% of this stuff. We could simplify our lives a little bit and improve the quality of our lives. But that's not the direction we're being led, because the property class demands that we be a consumer society. And they'll be damned if they're going to let us have our breath. Well, that's enough for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting.